Good morning. My name is Stacy Fry, and I am one of the pastors here on staff. I am privileged and honored to be the spiritual mama of the house, and it is my honor and privilege to be speaking to you today on our last series, our last installment of this series, and it is on parenting. So I know some of you are like, well, I'm not a parent. Some of you kids are like, great, we're going to hear about parenting. I'm telling you, you're going to get something out of it, no matter if you're a parent or not, okay? It's for two reasons. One is the Word of God is living and active, and I could be talking about parenting, and you could get something for your business. I could be talking about parenting, and you could get something for yourself. It doesn't matter what I'm talking about. It's the Word of God, okay? So be prepared. But the second reason that you're going to get something out of today is because you have a role to play in the topic that I'm talking about, and that is there was a video on the Serengeti Plains when you have water buffalo. Lions love to eat little baby water buffalo. I know you're like, where is she going with this? This is starting out the gate with some like violence. But on the plains, that's what they do. And this water buffalo, this little baby water buffalo was being attacked by the lions. Well, the lions thought that they had this water buffalo. They were like getting ready to have a good meal. And then all of a sudden, a pack of like 60 water buffalo came up. And the lions were not, they were thrown out of the little dinner meal that they had planned. And you are the water buffalo herd. Because what we're going to do today, I'm going to talk about how we protect our children. And that's what all this is about today. And you're part of the water buffalo herd. It wasn't just the parents that came in and protected that little baby water buffalo. It was a bunch of people. It was like aunts and uncles and friends and neighbors, and there are probably just some people like, hey, the herd's going this way. I'm going this way. I'm going to protect that baby too. So that's what your job is today, is I want you to look at your neighbor and say, I'm your water buffalo. Now, I saw the people that didn't do that. I'm coming after you. But it's true. We're part of a herd. And today, what my goal is we're going to talk about parenting and the importance of what's going on in our world today. So I want to say, first of all, welcome to our Framingham campus. Shout me down over there, Framingham. TC at Tri-County of Bellingham, we love you. Our online viewers, we're so glad that you're here with us. And Ashlyn, thank you for being here as well. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Stacy, and I am a pastor, but I'm also a principal of Metro West Christian Academy here in the parking lot. Come on, all our MCA parents are giving the hoot and hollering and over there at TC in Framingham. But I also want you to know that I have four kids of my own. I have four grandkids. We just had our first little granddaughter a month ago. She's 28 days old. And she was actually here last night. So those of you who came to the Saturday night service got to meet Layla for the first time. But I've been in principal role for 17 years and have been in education for 16, and there were a couple years overlapping. So it's 30 years, basically, I've been in a school system. And I'm going to bring you some stories that you're going to think I'm making up, and I'm not. I have people here in the crowd that can be my witness that I'm not telling lies up here, okay? And so my goal tonight, today, is to get you to understand the magnitude of the battle that is going on for our children. And I am a child advocate. And I am, I'm passionate about it. So you might see me get a little passionate, but you know what? When, if you back me, I'm a sweet little Southern girl, but if you back me in a corner, and that's what's happening with our kids, I'm going to protect our kids. I'm going to come out swinging. And so it's an all out battle for our children, for their identities, for their hearts, their souls, their minds, their bodies, their genders, their security. And I'm not having it. So you're with me. So you're going to sit and listen to it today. But I want to do, it's a serious thing, and I do want to do a good job. So I'm just going to pray. If you stretch your hand out to me, pray for me while I'm praying. Lord, I just ask you, Father, that you would help me do a good job. That it would not be my words, but it would be your words. That you, I know, Lord, this is your heart, is to protect our littles. Protect our little people, that they would be able to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so, Father, I ask at TC, at Framingham, our online campus here in Ashland, that you would let the hearers who are here be not only hearers of the word, but doers. So, Father, we thank you that your word will be spoken today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, say, my heart's ready. All right. So, parenting is... It's the, one of the most rewarding things that you can do, but it's also one of the most challenging. Can I get an amen from the parents? Okay. And you can have seasons of beauty and blessing, and you can have seasons of trials and tribulations. And those of you who have multiple children, you know you could be in both those seasons at the same time, right? But what's interesting is when children, like one of the things that we don't have to work at is we don't have to work at passing along our physical or biological DNA. They just automatically get that. Our little Layla, who was just born, you know, even when they had the little ultrasound, as soon as they sent the picture in the family chat, everybody starts going, oh my gosh, that is Anthony's nose. That's his top lip. That's Morgan's hairline. Look, she has her lips. You know, we just automatically, even the grandparents were like, oh, I think that's me. You know, I had nothing to do with it, except for that it's DNA passed along. But the other thing that I want to do is I want to pass along our spiritual DNA. And that is so important in this day and age because we need to pass along a firm foundation in Jesus Christ, and that's our spiritual DNA. So I'm going to talk a little bit about imprinting. Excuse me. And when we imprint on our children are wet cement. And to give you this picture, let me give you a story of our, we used to have a little dog, Hunter, and he was the first dog of Connect. He was a little 13-pound Havanese. But he thought he was a 200-pound bull mastiff. He was like the alpha male in the neighborhood, and he's this little bitty 13-pound dog. But we, when we were living in our old house, we were trying to get, like when it rained, there would be water that would pool in our garage. And so we had to put this little wet cement berm, or whatever it's called, I don't know what it's called, but a little wet cement piece so that it built it up so that the water wouldn't come in the garage. Well, we laid it, it was wet. Somebody let Hunter out, and Hunter runs across it. And one of his little paws just barely touched it for a nanosecond, and there was his little paw print in that cement. And it's still there to this day. Because that's what imprinting is. Is it doesn't matter how quickly it's exposed, how quickly it's touched, how quickly it's you've seen something, you've heard something, something was said to you, it's imprinted on wet cement. And our children are wet cement, okay? So it doesn't matter how quickly they see something, they hear something, a word you've spoken over them, a word that somebody else has spoken over them, it's imprinted in their little wet cement, and it stays there. And there's no getting it out unless you chip it up and do, you know, a miracle work of the Lord. So I want to talk about imprinting today on our kids. And Deuteronomy 11, verses 19 through 22 is our verses. And you can see it up here on the screen. It says, teach them to your children. It's talking about our core values. It's talking about the things that we believe. It's talking about passing along our spiritual DNA. It says, talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates so that as long as the sky remains above you, that you and your children may flourish in the land that the Lord has given you. Now, that's basically saying, all day, every day, we need to be imprinting on our kids. We need to be teaching them because if we don't, someone else is. Now, we can't always be with our kids. We can't always be holding their hands and being with them every second of every day. But we can do things to help them when they're not with us and when we're not holding their hand. But there was a story of a mom who she woke up to her little son, her 3-year-old toddler holding her hand, and she thought, this is going to be a great day. There's a little picture, you can get a little view of it. She thought, this is going to be a great day. My 3-year-old, he's so sweet. He's ready to cuddle. It's going to be awesome. No tantrums today. He's already starting the day off. And she said, and I opened my eyes a little further, and I saw that he was just trying to get my fingerprint to open the phone so he could play on the phone. Now, how many of you know that's like a beautiful moment that could turn into a trial and tribulation when you have to take the phone away or whatever and they have a tantrum? But the reality is that our kids are always going to be holding someone's hand, whether it's the Lord's hand or the world's hand. I want to give you a contrasting picture so that it imprints on your soul. This is what is happening. This is the battle that's going on for our kids. And I want you to look at this because that's what's actually happening. Who wants to be holding our kids' hands at all times? And sometimes the demonic, the enemy, the world, does a better job at trying to hold our kids' hands at all times during the day, during the night. And that's what's the reality that's going on. Again, some of you might not, like this might be freaky to you, but we believe in an enemy. And we believe that he is here to kill, steal, and destroy our kids. And again, not on my watch. So my job today is to get you to understand what is going on out in the world, what the enemy is trying to do for our kids, or do to our kids. And I'm going to talk a little bit about some things that might be controversial, and that's okay, because, you know, that's my job. I got to do my job. And I feel like if God's given me this platform and the position that I have, if I don't steward it well and I don't let other people know what's going on, then I have to answer to God. So I'm not answering to you today. I'm answering to my higher calling that he's told me what I have to say and what I have to do. So I'm sweating a little bit because it's a little heavy. And you might not like me after, but I'm not here for your approval. So, I mean, I want you to like me. Don't get me wrong. But here's the thing, is that in order to protect our kids, sometimes what we're doing is we're not even seeing how we're doing damage to them. And I'm going to step on some toes right here. We give them these. We put these in our kids' hands. And we don't put limitations or guidelines or securities or protections on it. And what makes us think that a 12-year-old can handle this when we can't handle this? When we're sitting there scrolling and TikTok and Snapchat and Instagram and Pinterest, and an hour and a half later, we're like, what in the world? How did I get here an hour and a half later and I've done nothing? It's just been a time suck. But yet we hand it to our 12-year-olds and go, good luck. Good luck. Here's a direct access to pornography. Here's direct access to cyberbullying and bullies online and predators and pedophiles who want my children. And that's what's happening with the demon just holding your child's hand, is it comes right through here. Now, I'm not saying that phones are all bad, but I am saying that some certain ages should not even have a phone. And if they do, I hesitate to put an age limit on a phone for a child. But like 12 and under, I'm going to do it. 12 and under, they should have a dumb phone, a stupid phone. Like one that just, if you just need to text them, it should have like your number and what. They don't need to be accessing their friends at all times of the night. And for God's sake, put some limitations on their phones and devices and don't let them take them to bed. I can't tell you how many times y'all in our school, we're hearing stories of kids, they don't even know that they're telling on themselves or telling on their family or their parents or whatever. But we hear stories and they're like, well, I was playing games at, you know, 2 a.m. in the morning with my friends. And I'm like, I heard that conversation, or the teacher heard the conversation. She comes and tells me. And then I go to the parents and I'm like, do you know that your children are playing games at 2 a.m. in the morning? And there's, God knows what's happening at 2 a.m. in the morning. Don't let your kids have their phones in their bedrooms after a certain time at night. I'm telling you, it will protect. That's one big protection. Don't have computers in their rooms. Like, keep it out in the open. These are just some good tips for you. Anyway, 60% of teens say that they have been cyberbullied online. 60%. So I'm going to say, here you go. I hope you're part of the 40%. And some of you, this is what I hear parents say. Not even about this, but, you know, oh, that won't happen to my child. My child would never. Y'all, I said that too, and they evered. All four of them, they did what I said. They would never. My child would never. And so I'm not trying to beat y'all up. I'm speaking to you from experience of my own. And here's the other thing. It's not just the phones that are direct access to the enemy, but it's also TV. And you can say, just recently there was a parent that I had to talk to about, like, what their child was talking about. And they were like, well, we only let them watch Disney TV and YouTube Kids. And I'm like, what? Disney TV, that's like, it's all in there, everywhere. It has, you can walk into a store and whatever they're displaying at the front of the store, that's their values. And so what I'm telling you today is, I'm not just saying put them in a bubble and protect them. I am saying put them in a Christian school, put them in Metro West Christian Academy, because we imprint on those kids. At K4, we are telling those kids, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We're made in his image, both male and female. Male and female. Speaking of that, this is where I'm going to probably shock some of y'all. And this is not just for shock and all. This is actually happening. So I don't know. Like, we all know that there's a gender ideology going on, that they're trying to, you know, give kids options and whatever. So I have friends that are in the public school systems, two teachers that I can think of in two different public schools. And they're saying, like, these days, they're not even giving kids the option. It used to be, the last time I stood up here, it was like, you know, they're giving a blue band if you feel like a boy today and a pink band if you feel like a girl today, and you can switch it the next day and whatever. It's not no longer an option. They're actually grooming children to think this way. They're grooming children. I think you might be a boy then. I think they're grooming. And again, if you're doing that when you're older and you're making that decision, that's one thing. But that's where I draw the line. Is like, you're thinking you're going to teach my children, my 4 and 5-year-olds, sex education? Not a chance in Hades is that going to happen on my watch. Okay, but here's the thing that's shocking. Is that no longer is it just male and female that they're choosing. But how many of you have heard of furries? Okay, I know I have some young guys right here. They'll tell you it's happening. It's in the school systems, and it's basically children who identify as a kitten, as a unicorn. Those are two examples that I know, and they have litter boxes in the bathroom at public schools. Not even lying. I won't make the person who can vouch for me stand up and say it's true, but it's true. He's right here in this, and I'm telling you, that's what they're doing in the public schools. Okay, and again, I'm not against public schools. I am, actually. I'm not against public school teachers. Let me say that. I'm not against I'm not against the person. But when there is chaos and confusion, you better get your combat boots on. Because the enemy is the author of confusion. He's the one that brings the lies to our children. He's the one that is vying for their identity. And it's not going to happen on our watch. At least it shouldn't. So let me just say, I don't even have the time to tell you about the different things that are going on in the school systems. But if you, there's a group on Facebook called Massachusetts Informed Parents. Write it down for those of you who want to look at it later. Massachusetts Informed Parents. And it goes through all these different things that are happening in the public schools that I can't even take the time to tell you what they're teaching about sex education, how early they're teaching it, the books that they're showing, like reading. It's not just going against our family values, but it's going against, literally, it's showing them pornography, not even lying. Pictures in 4 and 5-year-old books. Okay, I got to get off the subject. I'm sweating and I'm going to. Oh, yes. So in regards to the furries, in a town nearby, there this I have families that come in for family interviews when they're bringing their kids to MCA, and I talk to them, and this is where I've heard so many stories. And this one father just this week was the head of the animal control in a town nearby. I won't say who it is or what town, but he literally said just recently one of the public school called them, animal control, to come and help them deal with a child that identified as a furry. That's why he was in my office this week. He was like, I'm not sending my kids there because that's imprinting. Like, you may say, this may be true. You may say, my child would never identify as a furry. Okay, they may not. But what happens when you haven't had a conversation with them about it? They're wet cement. They go in the bathroom and they see a human being using a litter box. If you haven't had that conversation with them, they're thinking, well, I guess that's normal now. That's imprinting. You're imprinting whether you know it or not. The world is imprinting. So you better start having some conversations about some of these things that are going on. And Psalm 127 verses 3 and 4 says, children are a gift of the Lord. They're gifts. They're not blessings. They're not burdens. They're blessings. They're a gift from the Lord. As arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior, so are the children of one's youth. So the children are the arrows, but what does it say the parents are? Mighty warriors. You are a mighty warrior. What does a mighty warrior do? They protect. They're ready for battle at all times. And that's what we're in. We're in a battle for our children. So the big idea today is that we cannot protect our children from everything in life. Therefore, it's essential that we prepare them for it. So I'm going to talk about a few things of how we prepare our kids. And first of all, it is imprinting our core values. And one of the things kids need the most is a firm foundation. We just sang about it. A firm foundation, and that is when you build your house upon the rock. Now, you can build your house on the sand, and that's on building your house on fleeting things. For instance, you know, parents give children options. They don't give children options when they're talking about school. Like, it's not an option. You got to go to the school. It's not an option. We paid for these sports. We're going to play the sports. You're going to the sports. It's not an option. We signed you up for this music lesson. You're going to go to this music lesson. Well, come weekend services in church, and they're like, well, it's going to be a nice day on Sunday. Maybe we'll go to the beach Sunday as a family. What is that telling them? That your core value, that becomes an option. Church is an option. But sports are not an option. Music lessons are not an option. But church is an option. That's building your house on fleeting things. Building your house on sand. And when the storms and the waves come, which, y'all, we're in the middle of the storm, telling our kids what's going on in the public schools, like, that's the middle. The waves are crashing over us. The waves are crashing over your kids, and you can't hold your kids' hands when you're going to public school. You can't drop them off. None of these guys would want their mommies to hold their hand right here going, all right, have a good day. We can't hold their hands, but we can prepare them and we can protect them. And one of the ways that we do that is we give them a firm foundation that's not going to be overtaken when the storms come. One of the things we need to do is pray for the right community for our kids and put them in the right community. If your kids are in middle school and they're not at CY, our Connect Youth on Wednesday nights, what are you doing with your life? Come on. You need to be there. You need to be giving them the right kind of friends, at least that have the same values that you do. You need to get your young adults to come to 508. You need to have them in Connect Kids every Sunday. They need to know, like, it's so interesting to me when we have some of our 4 and 5-year-olds that come to MCA and they tell their parents, you know, we got to start praying at night. We got to start praying over our food. You need to lay your hands on me and bless me, you know. And they're telling their parents that. And then all of a sudden their parents come to me and go, what time are your services? My kid's bullying me into coming to church. That's right. We imprint right at MCA. Come on. But we want to imprint on our kids. And there's a statistic that says 70% of all 18 to 22-year-olds will leave the church at least for a year, if not more. But when they have built their house, when it's not an option to them, when it's their church, it's not just my parents' church, it's their church. They've been raised in Connect Kids. They went to CY, Connect Youth. Then they became leaders at CY and started helping the younger ones. Then they became on the team. They came on the team at the 508 and started serving. Maddie Dudley is back there in the what do they call that? The AVL booth, but what do you call it? The Falcon? Yeah, Millennium Falcon? Anyway, for those of you who don't, the younger kids are like, what is she talking about? Anyway, he's back there in the booth, in the AVL booth, and he's 15 right now. He's been serving for 3 years, y'all. In Framingham, I think of Shayla Ramon, who's 16 right now, too. She's been serving for 3 years as well. She serves as the service coordinator. Y'all, like, hello. Because it's their church. They're not going to leave their church. The Dudley boys, all the three of the Dudley boys, have been out in the parking lot at an early age as young teenagers because it's their church. So if you're giving your kids an option to not go to church, then all of a sudden the waves come and the storm comes and they're like fleeting and they're going off on different, because you made an option at some point and it shouldn't be an option. We got to give our kids a good foundation. Okay, I got to move on. We have to imprint our core values, and that is by doing these things, by building our house on the rock, and then protecting and preparing them. So I'm going to give you 3 stages of parenting and how we prepare for protecting them. But I also want to just tell you, give you 4 things. You can get your phones out, those of you who, we're going to have a couple of screens up here that you're going to want to take a picture of, because I don't have time to go through all everything. The first 4 things I want to talk about are the things that we need to monitor and manage during the first 2 stages of parenting. So you can put that screen up of the influences, information, environments, and experiences. Okay? So take a picture of that. And these are things that, let me give you some just meat on the bones real quick on this. The influences that we need to monitor, this is their relationships, their friendships. It could be friends at school, could be their cousins, it could be teachers, coaches, whoever's influencing them, we need to monitor that. And then we need to also have conversations with those things. The information, what are you handing them? What are you putting in their phone? What school are you sending them to? What are the school systems teaching? Like, if you're at public school, you need to be having conversations. You need to be asking for their health curriculum. You need to be asking, what do you teach for sex education? What do you need? Because I'm telling you, they're not telling you. They're hiding it from you. And again, not against public schools or teachers, not against the people there, because our battle is not against flesh and blood. It is against the principalities and the powers of this dark world. So, but you need to be aware. You need to be informed. And you need to be monitoring what information your kids are getting. Their environments, again, the school, the church, CY, sports, wherever their environments are. And then their experiences. This is like sleepovers. I don't recommend sleepovers unless it's at your house, because so many things happen at sleepovers that you don't want happening at sleepovers. I'm telling you, this is where even if you're being honest with yourself as an adult, where did you probably see some stuff that you shouldn't have seen? At somebody else's house, because you weren't about to do it at your house, you know? Monitor the sleepovers if you're having them. Don't let them go to somebody else's house. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. But just be aware. Dances, sporting events, all these things, those are experiences. So monitor and manage those four things. So keep that in the back of your mind when we get into the three stages of parenting, which is the first two are the ones that you can monitor and manage those things. All right, so we can't protect our kids from everything, so we prepare them. What does it look like to prepare them? The first stage of parenting is the teaching years. This is birth to 12 years old. This is like their childhood. And this is where you want to build their confidence, okay? I'm going to give you the best tips that I think of for each of these phases. And one of the things, this is the years that you have to build their confidence so that when the world throws things at them, they're not swayed by it. They know who they are. They know their identity. They know they're awesome. And, like, they're just not going to be swayed by things of the world, because confidence produces kinds of strong kids that we need. So this is a couple of different things. Again, you'll have your phones out ready in just a second for one of the other screens. But don't be helicopter parents. Don't do everything for them. That basically says to your child that I don't think you can do it, so I need to do it for you. This is the kind of helicopter parents. We don't have these kind of people at MCA, just so you know, but I have seen hints of it in certain areas. But it's like, you know, well, little Johnny he did his best. You know, we were so proud of him. Like, little Johnny admitted he didn't study for the test and he missed every single question. Didn't even write his name. Like, what do you, there's this new craze called gentle parenting, okay? And this, like, oh, well, we just want them to, you know, they're so awesome and they're a hoodlum. What are you talking about, you know? Like, no, they're not awesome. Like, you need to shape them up a little bit. Now, granted, I absolutely 1,000% could have been a more gentle parent. And some of you are probably like, I can see that. My daughter was here last night, and she was like, amen. You know, all my kids, when they're listening to this, they're probably shouting from the car or wherever they're listening. Like, yes, she could have been more gentle. I know that I could have been more gentle in maybe how I worded things or took care of them. But I produce some really strong, confident kids, and that I am not ashamed of, okay? I didn't do everything for them. Like, your kids at 4 years old can do chores around the house. At 2 years old, they can drag a trash bag out to the trash. You might have to go along and pick it up, but that's fine, but you want them to know that they are capable. You believe in them that they're capable. They're capable to do their own laundry. They're capable to make their own lunches. Y'all, Morgan, sweet little Morgan, 4 years old. I started late with Devin, and I learned. You learn on your first one. Devin gave me plenty of opportunities to learn. Shout out TC over there. I know Devin's not there, but Natalia knows, right? But it took me a long time to train him to do things. So I was just like, yeah, I'm not going to take this long on the rest of the girls. So Morgan was 4 years old, folding her own laundry, putting it away, making her lunches, doing things. So she gets to college and she's like, 2 weeks in, this is not a lie. She calls and she's like, Mom, these kids don't know how to do anything for themselves. They don't know how to do their laundry. They don't know how to take care of themselves. They don't know how to go to bed on time. They don't know how to eat healthy. And I'm having to, like, parent these kids. So thanks, Mom, for doing nothing for me. I'm not sure it actually was like that, but you're welcome, okay? I get what you're trying to say to me. But she was confident because we raised confident kids by letting them do things that we knew that they had the oomph to do. Another way that you can build confidence is 7 A's of complimenting. Get your phone out ready for this one. This is, I'm not going to take the time to go through all of them, but appearance, number one, that's like your base level. That's just the easy thing. That's the outward appearance. But that is just the minimal aspect of complimenting, because you don't want them to think that they're all about their appearance. The rest of them are who they are inside. And I want to just highlight attempts, okay? That is, you need to make failure and mistakes a normal thing in your house. Because if you don't, they'll think the first time they make a mistake that if you've only complimented them on, you did this so perfectly, you did this so awesome, I mean, like, you're amazing, this is just perfect. The first time they make a mistake, it hurts their identity. So, like, try to get them to make some mistakes and then high five them. Yes, you hit the ball completely, you made a goal for the wrong team. That's just, you know, we live and learn, honey. That's awesome. Good job, you know? So compliment their attempts, but all these things, don't have time to go through them. They're pretty self-explanatory. Number two, the training years is 13 to 19. This is in adolescent years. This is where you allow your children to put into practice what you taught them in the teaching years. My father-in-law used to say this, teaching is the mere transmission of data from one party to another. Training is the ongoing, repetitious insistence by force if necessary, aka spanking, maybe, that the teachings be implemented. Okay, so teaching, you're teaching them what you want them to do. Training is you're walking them through it and coaching them along the way of right beside them. And this is, I always say that teaching in the teaching years, there's more of a physical exhaustion. In the training years, there's a mental exhaustion and emotional exhaustion. So in these years, it's the most important thing to have conversations. Okay, I got to whip through this, but conversations are, you need to be having conversations about everything, asking them what's going on at school. And if you're if you have sons, no offense to these young men right here, but these boys don't tend to talk. Like, what's going on at school? Nothing. I don't know. Ask them again. Ask open-ended questions. And, like, just talk to your kids. Have conversations. And the best tips for this phase, this is where you can have these conversations, is, number one, make sure your house is party central for your friends, for your kids' friends. Have a box of brownies and chips and salsa and Market Basket brand sodas on hand at all times. Water bottles, whatever you need, so that your kids' friends come over to your house, and then always be serving them. The best thing you can do is, we made one of our garage bays into a teen hangout room. Best money we spent, because that's where they hung out all the time. So whenever they'd have their friends over, I was making brownies upstairs. I was getting everything ready. I mean, I was going to serve those kids. And I'd come down and I'd bring the brownies. And they're like, oh, Mrs. Fry, you're awesome. I was like, I know. Here's some brownies. Here you go. You know. But in the meantime, I'm listening to what's going on over there in the conversation. I'm seeing who's over there in the corner. I'm listening to and then I'm like bringing chips and salsa. Don't you start making out in my room. You know, come on. You know, but I'm listening because I want to be involved in my kids' lives. And then you can have conversations based on what you saw. Now, again, you don't want to, that leads me to my third point, which I'll get to in a second. But number two is, be the taxi for your child and their friends. Always, you're listening to conversations that they're having in the back seat. Like, you can hear things that you can have conversations about. And then number three, don't freak out if they tell you something. Everybody say, just, I'm not going to freak out. Okay, if they tell you something, and like my kids would tell me something, and I was like, you know, and then I was thinking in my head, put your eyebrows down. Don't have big eyes. Close your mouth, Stacy. Don't freak out. Look calm, cool. And then I go, whoa, what happened next? And inside I'm going, dear God, what in the world? You know, so don't freak out, because the first time you freak out, it shuts the line of communication down. Okay. And let me just say, to some of the young people who are in here, if your parents have done that, I'm going to just ask you to go back to them and say, Mom, Dad, can you just not freak out? I want to have an ally with you. Okay? You hear me? Okay. All right. So the goal of parent is to train confident kids to where you become unnecessary, and the hardest part of that is accepting success. So if you've done a good job in the teaching and training years, then you come to the trusting years. And that is 20 to 25 years old. And this is where your kids are doing it, and then when they invite you in, you get to give coaching. So you're building confidence, you're having conversations, and then you're giving coaching in these years. These are the best tips I have in this area for the trusting years, is pray in faith, not in fear. Let me give you an example of what that looks like. praying in faith is, thank you, Jesus, that my children will walk with you every day of their life. Thank you, Jesus, that they will walk into their calling at an early age. Thank you, Lord, that your hand of protection is on them and they will not be swayed by what the world is throwing at them. That's praying in faith. What does praying in fear sound like? God, please don't let them make stupid decisions that will affect their whole life. God, please don't let them have friends that are just awful. You know, like that's praying in fear. We want to pray in faith because that's what faith is. Things that you don't see, you're praying in faith. The second thing, best tip I can give you, is just realize it's not your job at this point to get them into their calling. Your job was to do your job in the early years. This is another thing I learned with Devin. And man, I was like trying to hammer it home. Like I knew he had a calling on his life and I was trying to get him there because I thought it was my job. And we butted heads and so often it caused so much turmoil and tension because I thought it was my job to get him in there. And finally, I realized it's like, it is not my job. He's a grown man. In the Bible, it talks about God sees children as adults at 20, at age 20. So at age 20, it's not like we just go, good luck, you know, but we kind of have to. It's like, good luck, Lord, just bless him in Jesus' name, you know, but it's not my job. Just do your job in the early years, and then you can send them off with blessing, knowing that God is responsible for it. And then the third thing that I want to say is the best tip in this, and this might step on some toes, or you might feel like, I don't think I need to do that, but I'm going to tell you anyway, is as a parent, we want the best for our children to be able to be healthy and whole. And the best thing you can do for them to bring healing in their adult years so that they can be healthy and whole is apologize to them. Apologize. This is what we teach our little kids is we say, when you've made a mistake or you've hurt somebody's feeling, what do? You apologize. You say, I'm sorry. So some of you are parenting with a limp because your parents didn't apologize to you. And how can we best make sure that that doesn't happen to our kids? Is apologize to them. I had this conversation with all four of my kids, and I just said, listen, if you ever find yourself in a therapist's, you know, on a therapist's couch because of something I said or did, I want you to know the door is open, and if we need to have a conversation, you come back to me. We'll have a conversation, but I want to tell you right now, I am so sorry if I ever hurt you, if I ever did anything. I wanted the best for you. I did the best with what I had, and I'm just sorry. I asked for your forgiveness. I proactively asked for their forgiveness. And you know what? When you do that, like, all four of them, not one of them was like, well, you did this, and you did this, and you did, and I know I did some things, but when you proactively ask for forgiveness, it's like it just brings healing. So just apologize to your kids as an adult so that they don't go carrying on the same stuff. In fact, one of the time, just recently, like 3 months ago, Morgan sent a meme in our family chat, and it said, "The older I get, I realize my mom was right, but I just didn't like her tone." And I was like, yeah, I was right. No, that wasn't my initial response. My text right back was, well, I didn't like my own tone, you know, but I was right, you know, just saying. But, you know, when you have healthy adult children and they know that you're willing to own your mistakes, it brings such healing and you can talk about it. And that's what you want. In my closing, I want to just give you this last verse, Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20. It says, "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." I always think it's so interesting that he had to put in there, now choose life. But what's amazing is that I've seen so many Christian parents curse their children just by their words, by their actions, by what they say that they believe about them. Or like Christian parents that curse their adult children's marriages. Like what in the world? Don't you want your child to be successful, but then you're not the fan of the person that your child chose to be their partner in life and their husband or their spouse? A husband or their wife, like it's one thing when they choose it in the early stages. Yes, you're supposed to give coaching, but once they choose it, be their cheerleader. That's one thing that my in-law kids, my in-love kids would tell you. I'm their best friend. I'm their biggest cheerleader because I want my kids' marriages to be successful. I'm going to bless them. I'm not going to curse their family and their dynamic and their marriage. But this is what we need to do is we need to bless and affirm our kids. Today, our children in Connect Kids Ministry, they're getting one of these papers. We have different colors that you can choose from. And this side is a blessing for the body of a child while lying in bed. And it goes through, and you're going to lay your hands on your kids, and you're going to bless them. Thank you, Lord, that they have the mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord, that their back is strong, that they can carry the weight. Thank you, Lord, that their neck will be turned to the poor. You're blessing parts of their body. And then this side, it has affirmations. I'm blessed, I'm loved, I'm accepted, I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm a leader of men. And I want you to, we're going to show you a video in just a second, but use these things. Put it on the bedside table. Do this every night with your kids. Bless your kids. Put it, whether you want to frame it and put it on the wall. So I want to close with this video so that you can see this in action.
Baby?
Baby?
Father, I pray that you would bless his mind. May he grow in wisdom and in the knowledge of you.
I'm blessed, I'm handsome, I'm smart, and I'm loved. I'm a follower of Jesus and a leader of men.
Lord, bless her feet. May they carry the good news. Bless her legs to go on in times of trouble. Bless her back. May she be strong enough to bear the burdens of others.
I am beautiful. I am loved. I am kind.
Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for my girls. I pray a blessing upon them. I plead the blood of Jesus over them and protection upon them, Lord.
Loved.
I am.
Kind.
I am.
Beautiful.
I am.
Smart.
I am.
Gifted.
I pray for a spirit of boldness and courage, an equal portion of gentleness and kindness upon them. I pray that you can guide them and lead them, make their path straight.
Lord, bless his feet, may they carry good news. Bless his arms to hold the lonely, and his hands to do good work. Bless his neck, which he turns his head to the poor.
I am chosen. I am loved. I am fearless. I am a follower of Jesus.
I am a leader of men.
I am a leader of men.
And I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
Come on, how many of you know that will produce some confident children? And I want to close with this. I want you as parents to not be scared of parenting in this generation. Don't be scared of it. God chose you for such a time as this. He always equips the soldiers that are on the battlefield. And right now, he's called you as parents to be the mighty warriors for your children. And he's called your child to be raised in this day and age. God knew that David could handle Goliath. He knew that Esther could handle Haman. He knows that your child can handle whatever challenges that are brought your way because you are their mighty warrior. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to be mighty warriors. We're going to be a herd of water buffalo. Come on, somebody. We're going to protect our kids. We're going to let them, give them the opportunity to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But I want to tell you this. Some of you, you may have never given your life to Christ. And I would say you can't do this life without Christ at this point in history. You need a firm foundation. And I would like for all of you to just close your eyes and bow your heads for a minute. I want to give you that opportunity to give your life to the Lord so that you will know. In Framingham and TC, y'all go ahead. Campus pastors, y'all can come on up. But I want you to understand the importance of this moment. Is that this could be the very moment that somebody else starts to build their life on a firm foundation, to build their life on the rock of Jesus Christ. And I want to give you that opportunity. It's the most important thing, most important decision you can make. And so if you've never given your life to Christ, we're going to pray together because we are a herd of people, nobody prays alone. We all stand together. So if you'll just join with me in prayer, and we're going to pray this together. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name, to come and fill my life. I'm so thankful you sent your son to die on the cross for me, to forgive me of all my sins, past, present, and future. I claim you as my solid foundation. I believe it in my heart, and I confess it with my mouth, that you died on the cross, you rose again, and you're living in heaven, and you want me there with you one day. But not only that, Lord, I want you now with me to help me through this life. I put you at the helm of my ship, and I call you my Lord and Savior today. In Jesus' name, amen. And with your eyes still closed, I want you, that was the first time that you've ever prayed that and you've asked the Lord into your heart, I want you to raise your hand, because the Bible says that if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. And so between me, you, and some of our team members that want to pray for you, just raise your hand right now, good, strong, and bold that you have done that. Thank you. Raise it nice and high. That's a confidence level, because there's a connection between what you just did in the spirit realm and what you're doing in the physical realm, saying, I'm a follower of Jesus. I thank you. I see hands all over the room. I see it. Yes, thank you. Best decision you'll make. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Come on, let's praise and give God the celebration for those new body of Christ, new body of believers. Thank you. And one more second, TC Framingham. I just want all the parents, I would like for you, if you're with your spouse and you're a parent right now, I want you to just raise your hands toward heaven. And I'm going to pray a blessing over you, and then I'm going to give it over to the campuses right now. So, Father, I ask that you would bless these families in Jesus' name. I pray protection over our children. Father, church, pray with me in Jesus' name. Lord, just join our faith together that you would give wisdom, Lord, give wisdom to these parents for this day and age of how they need to raise their children, how they need to protect their littles, how they need to be alert and aware. Give them wisdom on conversations that they need to be able to have with their children. Father, I thank you that we are going to grow confident, strong children here at Connect Kids, at our Connect Youth in the 508, and that they would serve you all their days. Thank you, Lord, for protection over them. We thank you, Father, for doing a work in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen.